Thank you, Jeff. Let me encourage you to take your Bibles and to open to James chapter 1. I'd like for us to begin with the text in James chapter 1. We'll start in verse 21. James, through the Holy Spirit, writes, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." I'd like us to notice that in this text it speaks of being doers of the word. And I think it's interesting as we think about this, in many respects, a danger that is present in any system that looks to a document as a standard is continued adherence to that standard. For example, we are familiar in our country with ongoing discussions that will happen from time to time about whether something is constitutional or unconstitutional. And that's because we measure our actions being in a constitutional form of government. There's a text, there's a document that we look to as the source or the standard. And that's not true only in government, in organizations. Perhaps it's a charitable organization or a club or a foundation. They'll have a charter or bylaws that govern how that organization is to operate. And so on a continual basis, they need to check, are we doing those things in accordance with our charter, in accordance with our bylaws? You know, if you'd look with me over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 2, I want us to notice that this is something that Scripture will talk about in places other than simply the text that we began with in James chapter 1. In Romans chapter 2, one of the things that Paul calls to the attention of the Christians in the church in Rome who had come out of a Jewish background is this struggle, this problem of hearing the word, knowing what it said, but not really following through with it. Notice in verse 12 to begin with in Romans chapter 2, Paul writes, "For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not," notice this, "the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves. They show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Well, notice here, the wording is very, very similar to what we started with in James chapter 1. Not the hearers of the law, but the doers of the law. And notice, he goes on in the next few verses to talk about ways in which they had violated this, ways in which they'd not continued in what they had heard. Notice verse 17, "Indeed, you who are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law." So they were prideful of the fact that they were God's chosen people. They were prideful of the fact that they know what God wants. But notice verse 19, "and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." Now that's interesting because this problem that is addressed here in Romans 2 and in the text that we began with in James chapter 1, we ask ourselves the question, why is that the case? You know, it seems like If you heard and understood and knew what God's Word said, you just naturally and automatically would do it, right? Why is it a danger that we often do not continue in the Word and we are not doers of the Word? Well, the text that we began with, I think, suggests one reason to us, and that's simply we forget. In James chapter 1 and verse 24, it speaks of the one who, like looking in the mirror, he sees the kind of man he is, but then forgets. I don't know about you, most of the time I wish I could forget what I look like in the mirror, but the problem here is the idea of the Word of God showing us our flaws, showing us what needs to be corrected. Are we going to heed that? Are we going to forget what it tells us and ignore it? Notice verse 25 as well. What we ought to do is not be forgetful hearers. I want you to think about the fact that that is one of the reasons that our time that we spend together becomes so important. One of the reasons that studying God's Word together is so important, and that is the idea of reminding one another. You know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, there the Apostle Paul talks about sending Timothy to them. And one of the things that he says that Timothy will do is that Timothy will remind them of his ways in the gospel, which he preaches everywhere in every church. Now, you know, we wish that it might be the kind of thing that if we ever heard it once, that's enough. We don't have to hear it anymore. But that's not the way it is. We need to continue to remind ourselves. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want us to notice something that Peter has to say about this, because he talks a good deal about this issue of reminders and remembering those things that we ought to do. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, he says what he intends to do, but then also the way in which there can be reminders after his departure from this life. Notice beginning in verse 12. For this reason, I will not neglect to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. You know, one of the challenges as a gospel preacher, sometimes it might be very easy for people to think, well, you always need to come up with something new. It always needs to be something, a different way in which you say something. Well, I understand that we need to always try to keep God's Word fresh. But notice here what is said. Part of what he's about is reminding them of what he's already taught them. And I'll tell you, brethren, I can testify to that as a gospel preacher. Then it's interesting. I may have preached a lesson on something a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and yet that doesn't mean that there are not voices and ears that need to continue to hear and then proclaim those things. We forget. We may forget those things that we have heard, and we may not continue in them unless we are reminded. But another reason that this is a danger is because far too often we allow ourselves to become distracted. Over in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 10, we have this familiar story where we encounter the two sisters of Lazarus that we talked about in our earlier lesson. In Luke chapter 10, notice with me in verses 38 through 42, and I want us to notice something specifically that's illustrated in this account that we should learn from as we're thinking here about this idea of being doers of the Word. Notice that it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Notice verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, I want us to notice here what it says about the problem here with Martha. Verse 40 there, she was distracted with much serving. Now, I want us to notice in this example, this is not saying that those things that distracted her were bad things. It is not saying that those things to which she was attending were sinful or ungodly. No, quite the contrary. I think her motive was good, her aim was good, but she was just busy in the things of life, the things that she needed to do, and she missed the fact that there was something greater that should have been receiving her focus. And so it is with us. We may hear the Word of God, and yet there are plenty of things in life that can demand our attention and can allow us to become distracted. How important it is for us in this race of life to make certain that we keep our focus where it needs to be. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, after this great chapter of faith in the previous chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, of course, talks about those great men and women of faith. The first two verses in the very next chapter help us to see where our focus must stay if we are to keep ourselves from being distracted. Notice what the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Notice, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we are not focused, if we are distracted, we very easily can become those who are hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. Now, I mentioned in the example that we looked at there with Mary and Martha that we weren't talking about something that was wrong or something that was sinful. However, we need to recognize that another reason that this is a danger, that we might well become a hearer but not a doer of the word, is because we can very easily fall into temptation. Over in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, in Luke's account of the parable of the sower, I want us to notice the wording that is given in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 13, as it talks about these different conditions of soil, different conditions in which the word is sown. And as Jesus gives this explanation, notice in verse 13, he says, "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy." Now, I want us to think about that, because that's what we're talking about. I've heard the word, I receive it, I hear it, I think that's great. But notice what the problem is. "Receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away." One of the things that will keep us from being doers of the word is if we don't keep that focus we just talked about, but don't allow ourselves to get the root that we need to, so that when temptation comes, we will not fall to it and fail to obey and heed those things that are taught within. That beautiful passage in Psalm 119 and verse 11, I think, should echo within our mind. Why is it that we need to continually plant the word within us? Why is it we need to study with one another? Why is it we need to remind one another? Well, not only because we can forget, not only because we can become distracted, but there the psalmist says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." We learned a great example of Jesus when he was tempted. He answered it with Scripture. And so it will be with us. If we are hearers of the word and we implement that in fighting temptation, we will be doers of the word. But finally, one reason that this is a danger as well is because it is very possible that having begun the race, having put our faith in the Lord, having heard the word of God, things and circumstances can come along which simply cause us to lose faith. Hebrews chapter 10, I think, talks to us about this problem. And we see it around us far too often. We struggle with it perhaps in our own hearts and lives. But I want us to notice some things that are said in the latter part of chapter 10, and then think of that in light of something that perhaps we're more familiar with in the heart of chapter 10, and I want us to think about it within that context. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 35, it says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe for the saving of the soul. Now, think about it first of all, in light of our topic this morning, doers of the word. I can fail to be a doer of the word if I allow my faith to begin to waver, if I allow my faith to grow weak. And here I think that charge is given. Don't be among those that draw back. Instead, remain faithful. Be firm in your commitment. Have your confidence firm until the end. But do you remember that it is within this very chapter that only a few verses before this, it talks to us, as we've been talking all throughout this lesson so far, about one of the things that God has given to us whereby we can guard against that. Go back up to verse 22, if you would. And I want us to notice that there, before this warning, and in the context of this warning about personal faithfulness to the Lord, verse 23 tells us this: let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation that will devour the adversaries. And we'll stop there. Now, I want us to notice and to think about this. First of all, in our reading, we start with some admonitions to hold fast. And that echoes the very thing that we noticed at the end of this chapter. Don't draw back. You hold fast. And in fact, then it talks about what we've mentioned already. Why is it we need to study with one another? Why is it we need to be with one another? So we can remind each other. So we can, as it's put here, stir one another up towards love and good works. Now, verse 25, I know that among those that advocate the 80-70 position, there is an argument that says that the gathering here is not an assembly, but rather it is talking about the gathering of under the Messiah. I don't think that that would mesh with the context here, because here this is so personal. Here this is talking about the way that we stir one another up towards love and good works. And the way in which we do that is not by failing to be with one another, failing to come together to worship God, but here he warns against forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We will not be doers of the word if we allow ourselves to lose faith. And one of the things that the Lord has given to us whereby we can strengthen our faith, we can encourage each other so that we won't lose faith, is the time in which we come together to worship our Lord in assemblies such as this. Now, we've talked a little bit about this, but I want to end our lesson by simply asking, all right, if this is a danger, there's a danger of not being a doer of the word, how can we avoid that? How can it be that we're not simply a hearer, but we're a doer? And I just offer to you four things very quickly. First of all, go back to the text that we began with back in James chapter 1. And I want you to notice there in James chapter 1, what James, through the Holy Spirit, tells us about the way in which we can avoid this. You remember the wording there, James chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The word of God is something that we don't just hear and accept as some kind of interesting philosophy. Something we do. We talked this morning in our first lesson about, are you the kind of believer that believes but doesn't act? No, we must be the kind of believers that believe the right things and act upon them. Here, we continue in the Word of God. But secondly, I think we will avoid this if we practice constant self-examination. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Our world, in terms of physical health, has come to put much more emphasis than perhaps we once did upon the idea of making sure that you go through certain kinds of health checks to make certain that, you know, there's not a growth or a lump or something that's developing that could be a sign of some impending problem. And I think that's a good thing. We need to apply that same type of thing when it comes to our faith. You know, it's not generally the case that someone just wakes up one morning and all of a sudden they've lost faith, they've abandoned faith. There is a process that begins slowly, and if we're not examining ourselves carefully to guard against that process, we can find ourselves losing faith, or we can find ourselves in a condition in which we know God's Word, we just don't do it anymore. Notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified?" I think that's important for us to recognize. I can guard against this danger of being a hearer but not a doer of the word if I practice constant self-examination. But then we also need to recognize that when, you remember in James chapter 1, it talked about that man that sees himself in the mirror but then walks away and forgets what he looks like. Part of that may be, like I said a few moments ago, we don't like what we see. Now, when we don't like what we see, how are we going to respond to that? Sometimes it may be that we fill up with pride and we think, well, it may show that I'm doing something wrong, but I'm not going to admit that. I'm not going to ever look that weak or that humble that somebody would think that I've fallen short. I want us to recognize that as we stand before the Creator, as we acknowledge our condition before the Creator, our only hope is to have a humble disposition that is willing to recognize when we have fallen short. I offer two examples for you there in Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 24, you'll remember it's an incident there where King Saul had sinned before the Lord, and he is rebuked because of that sin. It is interesting because you look at the wording there, and as he is rebuked for that, the wording, he says, "I have sinned." That's interesting because there's another example in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13 there of David when he is rebuked because of his sin with Bathsheba. And the wording there is very, very similar as well. "I have sinned." But you know, if we look at things such as the Psalms and other things that will indicate to us what the nature of their disposition was, the disposition doesn't seem to be what they said, but it seems to be a difference in their attitude of humility. Are we so proud that we are unwilling to acknowledge and recognize when we have fallen short? Are we willing to say, you know what, I haven't been a doer of the word. I am going to commit myself to be a doer of the word. And that's the very last thing I'd like us to notice. If we are to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, we must follow through with the commitment to apply what we find within Scripture and to do it. Look over in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61, and I want us to notice here a charge that is given by Solomon. And we recognize that Solomon had his ups and downs, but I want us to notice what the Holy Spirit leads him to declare in this particular passage that I think is great advice for each and every one of us as we think about our accountability before God and His Word. The charge is given, "Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and keep His commandments as at this day." That's commitment. That is saying, I'm going to hold to it. I'm not going to stop. You know, this may not be the right word to use, but sometimes I think a part of this whole idea is stubbornness. An attitude that says, you know what, I'm just not going to give up. I'm going to stubbornly and persistently remain faithful to the Lord. Are there temptations? Yes. Are there those that fall around me? Yes. Are there those that will distract me or not act the way that they ought to? Yes. But I'm going to stubbornly continue in that perfect law of liberty. I'm not going to be a forgetful hearer. I'm going to be a doer of the word. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and the lesson will be yours. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Very familiar passage that talks to us about our responsibility before God and our responsibility to His Word. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, writes, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there are many things that we could glean from that passage. We talk about the importance of study. We talk about the importance of adhering to God's word. We talk about the importance of putting things in their proper context and understanding them. But underlying all of that is this commitment. When we see it, when we hear it, when we find it in God's word, don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't let it be something that you know what it says, but you don't apply it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. You're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. To some degree this morning, we have talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news that is available, the salvation that rests in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Are you going to be a hearer of that and not a doer? Are you going to go away and forget what that shows you about your life and your accountability before God? I hope not. I would urge you, put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that separates you from God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God, maybe this lesson really hits home. Because maybe you think about, you know, I know what the Bible says. I'm just not doing it in my life like I ought to. Maybe that's something that you just need to go home right now and you need to go to God in prayer and you need to make that commitment stronger. But if it's something in which our brothers and sisters can be of help to us in that process, it's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's a blessing that God offers to us. We can help. Won't you come while we stand and sing?